are listening to the Way of Truth broadcast, originating in the studios of the Church of God Universal in Hagerstown, Maryland. This is Alvin A. Craig speaking, and we're thankful for the privilege of coming your way with another Way of Truth broadcast. We are truly thankful for the privilege of sharing the gospel with you, and we're thankful for all of God's rich blessings to us. And we're inviting you to stay with us, for we're trusting that the Lord will take our broadcast today and make it a blessing to you.
When I think of how He came so far from glory, came to dwell among the lowly, such as I, to suffer shame and such disgrace, on Mount Calvary take my place. Then I ask myself this question, who am I? Who am I that a king would bleed and die for? Who am I that he would pray, not my will, thine, Lord? The answer I may never know, why he ever loved me so. To an old rugged cross he'd go, for who am I? When I'm reminded of his words, I'll leave thee never. Just stay true, I'll give to you thy forever. I don't know what I could have done to deserve God's only Son, to fight my battles till they're won, for who am I? Who am I that a king would bleed and die for? Who am I that he would pray, not my will, thine, Lord? The answer I may never know, why he ever loved me so. To an old rugged cross he'd go, for who am I?
Brother Brad Crooks singing for us, Who Am I? And Who Are We? As the psalmist said, Who is man that God would be mindful of him? But thank God he is mindful of each one of us. I'd like to remind our congregation that you may listen to our broadcast on the World Wide Web, www.wayoftruth.org. www.wayoftruth.org. You may also read our monthly Way of Truth magazine there on the web page. Our Heavenly Father, we're truly thankful for your rich blessings to us, thankful for the privilege of sharing the gospel with this precious congregation today. We're trusting that wherever it is reaching, the precious Holy Spirit will make it a blessing to each one. We also pray that you'll remember the burdens and the cares, the concerns that those of our congregation have, for we know that you love everyone, you're concerned for everyone, and you're willing to help everyone. So bless our congregation today. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
And lost in sin and darkness praying, amen. And to Christ.
Our subject for today's broadcast, Behold the Goodness and Severity of God. Our text of Scripture is taken out of Romans chapter 11 and verse 22. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God. On them which fell, severity, but toward thee, goodness. If thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shalt be cut off. We are to stop and look and consider. That's what the word behold means. Stop, look, consider, give thought to the goodness and the severity of God. In the religious world today, there is great emphasis put on the love of God, and rightly so, because God is love. But we should not present God in a one-sided picture. We should endeavor to see the true and the living God as the Scriptures themselves present them to us, and as Jesus Christ revealed him, because he came to reveal the Father. And our text of Scripture says, Behold, therefore, the goodness and the severity of God. On them which fell, severity. Toward thee, goodness. if thou continue in his goodness. Otherwise, thou also shalt be cut off. Let us consider, first of all, the goodness of God. And the Apostle John says in 1 John 3:1, behold, and there we find that word behold again, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. So we are the sons of God, if we are a Christian today, because of the love of God. Yes, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So as we consider the love and the goodness of God, let us think of how God has manifested his love. And I'll only refer to a few. First of all, I mentioned a man, David. David was a man after God's own heart. Nevertheless, David did some things that were very grievous and displeasing to Almighty God. I think of the time when he took a man's wife and committed adultery with her, and then he had that man killed. Yet the Lord was merciful to him. The prophet Nathan went to him, gave him a parable, and the parable was that there was a traveler going by. He stopped at a man's house who had an abundance of animals and crops and so forth, and yet he sent and took away his neighbor's only one little ewe lamb and used it to serve his visitor. And this angered David very much, and he said, that man shall die. And Nathan the prophet said, well, you are the man. Thou art the man. And David recognized that his sin was known. Be sure your sin will find you out. Now, in the 51st Psalm, we find there David's prayer of repentance for this terrible act. In fact, two, adultery and murder. He prayed, and he prayed earnestly for God's forgiveness, and God did indeed forgive him. Behold the goodness of God. And then we read of a woman taken in the very act of adultery, brought to Jesus, and the men who brought her were not all that concerned about the law. They were endeavoring to get something on Jesus that they might accuse him. For if this woman was taken in the very act of adultery, that means that the man was there too. So why didn't they bring the man along with the woman? The law commanded the same for the man as for the woman. But they were not really interested, I say, all that much in the law. They were trying to tempt Jesus, get something on Jesus that they might accuse him. Nevertheless, Jesus said to them, those of you who are without sin, you cast the first stone. And he knelt down and wrote in the sand. I like to think that maybe he wrote out some of their sins, for he certainly knew what was in the heart of man. And the scriptures tell us that they went out from the youngest to the oldest. And Jesus then rose and said to the woman, woman, where are thine accusers? And she said, no man. And Jesus said, neither do I condemn thee. I'm not going to condemn thee to be stoned to death. But go and sin no more. So when we understand that Jesus told her to go and sin no more, we conclude from that then that Jesus forgave her of her sinful past. Yes, Jesus forgave her of her sinful past. And then we have the man Saul, better known, of course, as Paul. And we know him as one of the greatest warriors of the cross of all time. But we also know this man as a persecutor of the Church of God. We also know that he testified against people, had them put to death, and had them put in prison. He was standing there watching the coach of those who stoned Stephen, and he was doubtless encouraging them in their nefarious work. Nevertheless, on the road to Damascus, God appeared to Paul in a great light, and he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest." And Saul, there being made to realize that Jesus was not the impostor that he thought he was, he said, "Lord, what would you have me to do?" And Jesus told him what to do. And he also told him that he would be shown the great things that he must suffer for Christ's sake. So God forgave Saul and all of his acts of persecuting the church and endeavoring to waste it, endeavoring to destroy it, endeavoring to do away with the disciples of Christ. Murderers, yes, but God forgave. Here we have David, an adulterer, a murderer, forgiven. The woman taken in the very act of adultery, forgiven. Saul, a persecutor, a murderer, forgiven. Behold, therefore, the goodness of God. And then we read in the 5th chapter of the book of Mark about a man who we do not know how he got in this condition, but he was possessed of demons, and these demons took away the right use of his mind, and he acted, although he was not insane from the standpoint of an actual mental breakdown, I say demons took away his ability to use his mind, and therefore he acted like a crazy man, cut himself with stones, lived in the tombs among the dead, took off his clothes, and at all hours of the night you could hear him weeping and wailing such terrible sounds. Yet Jesus comes across the Sea of Galilee, gets out of the boat, and here comes this man kneeling down before Jesus. And Jesus commands those demons, even though there were legions, Jesus commands the demons to come out of that man. And when those townspeople heard about it, they came out and they saw this man sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. Behold, therefore, the goodness of God. Whatever this man's sins were, whatever got him in the position that demons possessed him so, Jesus Christ delivered him and forgave him. Now, we read of a woman in the New Testament who is one of the most devoted disciples of Christ. And she showed such love and devotion to her master. Yes, I speak of Mary of Magdala. And remember, Mary of Magdala, or Mary Magdalene, and of course she gets her name Magdalene from being from Magdala. This Mary was possessed with 7 demons at one time. And again, we're not told why or how, but she was. And Jesus delivered her from those demons, and she became one of his most faithful, loving disciples that we read of in the New Testament. So we could go on and use the rest of our broadcast time speaking about the goodness of God and the love of God. But our text of Scripture says, "Behold, therefore, the goodness and the severity of God. On them which fell, severity, but toward thee goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shalt be cut off." And let me interject this thought here. How could anyone teach once saved, always saved, in the light of the plain, simple statement in this verse of Scripture? If thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shalt be cut off. And if you're cut off from Christ, you're cut off from the source of life. But now let us look on the other side. I want to say, first of all, man forces God to reveal his wrath. God does not take delight in pouring out his wrath. I want to emphasize the fact that man forces God to reveal his wrath. In the days of Noah, we read that the very thoughts and the imaginations of the people's hearts were only evil continually. God would not have destroyed the antediluvian world if they would have been doing what was right. But it seems that the only righteous man that could be found there in that period of time was the man Noah. And God would not destroy the righteous with the wicked. Therefore, he told Noah to build an ark for the saving of himself and his family. But remember this, it was the wickedness, it was the evil of the people of that day that forced God to pour out his wrath upon them. The same thing can be said in regard to Sodom and Gomorrah. Remember, Abraham pled for Sodom. If there are 50 righteous people in Sodom, God said, if there's 50 there, I'll not destroy them. Well, what about 45? And then 30 and 20? And Abraham asked the Lord not to be out of fix with him. But what if you can find 10? And the Lord said, well, if I can find 10 righteous people, I will not destroy it. Now think of that. The cities of Sodom and Gomorrah and the villages round about, God would have spared them if he could have found only 10 righteous people among them, but they were not to be found. Therefore, I say again, man forces God to reveal his wrath, and it was the wickedness of Sodom and Gomorrah that caused God to pour out his wrath upon them. Now, we read of the nation of Israel, how that time after time they got away from God, did their sinful and wicked deeds, worshiping of idols and adulteries, literally and spiritually. And God allowed the nation of Assyria to come and to carry away many of the northern kingdom, the kingdom of Israel, into captivity. And later, God allowed the armies of Babylon to come and to carry away many from the little kingdom of Judah. Why? Because of their sin, because of their wickedness, because of their evil. As you read the books of Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and even what is called the minor prophets, you can see there how that God sent these prophets of God to warn the people, to persuade them to turn from their evil ways. Jeremiah is known as the weeping prophet. He had a real soul burden for his people, and he pled with them to do what was right. But they rejected the messages of the prophets. They turned away from God's commandments. They turned away from his law, and they turned to idols. They turned to their own ways. And because they did, God then allowed these foreign armies to come and to take them away into captivity. So, behold the goodness of God, the love of God, the mercy of God. It is manifest abundantly on every hand. But if people persist, insist on following their own sinful, pernicious ways, they're going to force God to pour out his wrath upon them. God is a righteous God, and he cannot allow people to go on breaking his law, disobeying his commands, living sinful, wicked, and ungodly lives. He cannot allow them to do that without there being some retribution for it. The law of God would not be the law of God. It would mean nothing if there was no penalty to it. That is true even in the civil realm today. Nations of the earth have laws, and those laws have penalties connected with them. Otherwise, they're of no value. They are of no force. And surely the same is true of the law of God. There are consequences to the breaking of the law of God. We have this from the very beginning of the family of man. Adam and Eve broke the law of God. There was a consequence. They lost their fellowship with God. They lost their spiritual life, and they were driven out of their beautiful garden home. And they started a life that brought them heartache and misery in many respects. And so the law of God would not be law. It would mean nothing if there were not penalties connected with it. And very definitely, there are penalties connected with the law of God. If we insist on living our own selfish, self-centered way and die in our sinful state, Jesus said, "Where I am, there you cannot come." Yes, sin will cost you your eternal life. Eternal life is found only in Jesus Christ and in living in obedience to His Word. And behold how much God loved us in giving His only begotten Son, that whosoever will, yes, that includes everyone, not a select few, but everyone, that whosoever will may come and drink of the waters of life freely. God's love is extended to you. If there be any in our congregation today who are not saved, God's love is extended to you, and Jesus died for you. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we endeavor to persuade men to accept Christ as Savior and Lord. Heavenly Father, we pray that you'll bless these thoughts to our precious congregation today. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It's been a privilege to share another Way of Truth broadcast with you. We trust that it has proven to be a blessing to you. If so, we invite you to write us and let us know. Our mailing address, The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. That's The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. Our email address, truth@fred.net. truth@fred.net. And our fax number, 301-739-7173. 301-739-7173, our fax number. And our webpage address, www.wayoftruth.org. www.wayoftruth.org. And now this is Alvin A. Craig. We thank you for listening to our broadcast. We invite you to tune in next week when we come your way with another Way of Truth broadcast.